The Mysterious Visitor. It was an emergency meeting of all of the firm's members. Old Man Harding was the first to speak to the assembled mass. "I'm afraid I have some very bad news. Julian Mantle suffered a severe heart attack in court yesterday. He is currently in the intensive care unit, but his physicians have informed me that his condition is now stabilized and he will recover. However, Julian has made a decision to leave our family and to give up his law practice. He will not be returning to the firm." I was shocked. I knew he was having his share of troubles, but I never thought he would quit. As well, after all we had been through, I thought he would at least have the courtesy to tell me this personally. He wouldn't even see me at the hospital. Maybe I reminded him of the life he wanted to forget. Who knows? I'll tell you one thing, though. It hurt. That whole episode was just over 3 years ago. Last I heard, Julian had headed off to India on some kind of expedition. He told one of the partners that he wanted to simplify his life and that he needed some answers and hoped he would find them in that mystical land. He sold his mansion and his plane. He had even sold his Ferrari. As those 3 years passed, I changed from an overworked young lawyer to a jaded, somewhat cynical older lawyer. My wife Jenny and I had a family. Eventually, I began my own search for meaning. I think it was having kids that did it. My dad said it best when he said, "John, on your deathbed, you will never wish you spent more time at the office." So I started spending a little bit more time at home. I settled into a pretty good, if ordinary, existence. I joined the Rotary Club and played golf on Saturdays to keep my partners and clients happy. But I must tell you, in my quiet moments, I often thought of Julian. No one had received even a postcard from him since he left for his self-imposed exile from the law. A knock on my door about 2 months ago offered the first answers to some of my questions. I just met with my last client on a grueling day when Genevieve, my brainy legal assistant, popped her head into my office. "There's someone here to see you, John. He says it's urgent, and he will not leave until he speaks with you." For an instant, I considered calling security, but realizing that this might be someone in need, I assumed a more forgiving posture. "Okay, send him in. I probably could use the business anyway." The door to my office opened slowly. At last it swung fully open, revealing a smiling man in his mid-30s. He was tall, lean, and muscular, radiating an abundance of vitality and energy. But there was more to my visitor than his youthful good looks. An underlying peacefulness gave him an almost divine presence. And his eyes, piercing blue eyes that sliced clear through me. The young man continued to look at me, much as the smiling Buddha might have looked upon a favored pupil. After a long moment of uncomfortable silence, he spoke in a surprisingly commanding tone. "Is this how you treat all of your visitors, John?" he said, his full lips curling into a mighty grin. A strange sensation tickled the pit of my stomach. "Julian, is that you? I can't believe it! Is it really you?" The loud laugh of the visitor confirmed my suspicions. The young man standing before me was none other than that long-lost yogi of India, Julian Mantle. I was dazzled by his incredible transformation. Gone was the ghost-like complexion, the sickly cough, and the lifeless eyes of my former colleague. Perhaps even more astounding was the serenity that Julian exuded. I felt entirely peaceful, just sitting there staring at him. The man before me was a youthful, vital, and smiling model of change.